With WMUK News, I'm Gordon Evans. The 59th State House District includes all of St. Joseph and most of Cass counties. The Democratic candidate Carol Higgins is challenging Republican incumbent Aaron Miller. Carol Higgins, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Introduce yourself to the audience and tell us what you would like to do if you're elected to the State House.
Well, I have been a resident of St. Joseph County most of my life, grew up in the Portage Lake area. I'm the oldest of eight, have three children, three stepchildren, eight grandchildren, careers in farming and education as a public school teacher, a small business owner, and enough part-time jobs to feel like I've touched elbows with all kinds of different people in different types of work, from minimum wage to professionals.
So
I'm running because, I'm sorry, I think you asked me that. I'm running for the State House because virtually everyone I talk to agrees that we need change in Lansing, that the direction the party in control has taken the state has put a bigger gap between the rich and the poor, has made it more difficult for public schools to do what they need to do, has created concerns for environment and issues with our infrastructure, our roads, our water systems, the Flint water crisis. There are just a multitude of concerns that created the situation where I decided I needed to step forward and make a go of this.
So how do we shrink that gap between rich and poor? One of the things you say on your website is that you want to see more jobs that pay a living wage. How do we get them?
I would like to find a way to support small businesses better so that they are able to offer a living wage. It's very difficult for them to compete with some of the bigger companies. And a frustration that I hear a lot here in St. Joseph County is that there's jobs available and they can't find people to work these jobs. And I do believe it has to do with they can get more money on their welfare benefits. They can support their family better. They don't have to pay for child care. There's a disconnect between what we agree people need to survive and provide for them in our services if they're not working, and what we're willing to pay for them if they actually have a job.
So in that case, should the state be supplementing businesses? In other words, maybe pay them, reimburse them some of the cost of hiring an employee, if in fact it is working out that people are not taking a job because it's better for them financially to stay on state assistance?
I think that's an option that we need to take a good look at, yes, because I would rather give people that pride in having a job that they feel gives them enough to live off on than to put the same amount of money into all of these programs that you require people to file forms for over and over again, and it's a very big burden on the entire system. Let's give them a job that they can make a living on and reduce the amount we put into our welfare programs.
You also mentioned education in there. If you were going to provide more funding for education, where would you find it? Where would you find the money in the state budget? Would you be willing to raise taxes to increase funding for education?
The problem with our school aid fund, as I understand it, is it was designed specifically for K-12 education. That was the intent of the Proposal A back in the 1990s. In recent years, $200 million here, $200 million there has gone to other types of education, colleges and universities. And so we've taken money out of the general fund that used to go to colleges, and now we use money from the school aid fund. If we would find better ways, we could fund education without an increase in taxes there. But to generate more money, we do need to do that, and we can do that through prison reform. We can do that through some tweaks on taxes, such as entertainment and college and pro football tickets. I support a tax, a 6% tax on those kinds of things because they are discretionary income and do not directly affect those who seem to bear the brunt of a lot of our tax changes in recent years.
You mentioned Flint at the beginning of our interview. What do you think are the main lessons that state lawmakers and others in Michigan's government should have learned from Flint?
I believe that in recent years, our DEQ has been underfunded and understaffed. They are unable to do an adequate job, whether it's city events like the Flint crisis or agricultural, where you have to inspect things to make sure people are following the regulations that we have in place. And so the policies that caused us to kind of look the other way and not make sure that the basic things, the little $100 a day chemical that could have prevented the corrosion in the first place, trying to save a penny here and ending up spending a dollar somewhere else, is wrong. We need to look for ways that we can invest now that will save us money down the road.
About 30 seconds left here for a quick answer from you on agriculture. You mentioned a farming background. What can the state do to help the agriculture industry?
Well, many people know that St. Joseph County is called the seed corn capital of the world. And this is certainly a federal funding that gives so many incentives for big ag and these cash crops. My feeling is the state could do a lot to promote food hubs, support farmers who are growing food that goes directly to our restaurants, okay, our institutions,
right,
and make that helpful for everyone.
We'll have to leave it there. Carol Higgins, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Carol Higgins is the Democratic candidate in the 59th State House District. That includes all of St. Joseph and most of Cass counties. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.